It is our number two right here on the huddle and a blast from the past. Co-hosting today. It's Richmond Weaver sitting in the driver's
seat,
right? I guess.
You okay?
I'm just making sure that it's not a dream that I'm actually
here.
You can't really.
Can you be a blast from the past? It's only been a couple months. I guess it is still past.
But it is past.
When you say blast from the past, I think, you know, like from 10 years ago or something.
Yeah, but the way time moves now, I mean, Thanksgiving is on Thursday next week.
It's because we're old.
That's the problem. So blast from the past, it's moving so fast that it definitely speeds up things. So.
All right, I will take back what I said and delete it from the podcast.
Please do so.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to put that much effort into it.
No, you wouldn't. But it is Richmond Weaver and Lonzo here. I'm filling in for Greg McKinney as he is on his way down to Sumter for the Burn-Sumter football game tonight right here on ESPN Upstate, and you can catch that. Pregame starts at 7 p.m. and kickoff is at 7:30. And also just make sure that you jump in with us today. It's 844-477-3776. We're talking a lot about dynasties and what defines a dynasty, why we want to see dynasties fall, and is there fake news about dynasties falling, and can the NBA, NFL, college – how are we measuring dynasties? And if you want to jump in on the Health Dare text line, make sure you do that as well. It's 71307. Just text 71307 and start your message with ESPN so we know that you're wanting to jump in here with Lonzo and I on ESPN Upstate. And don't forget, go to the App Store and download the radio.com app. And there you can, once you download the app, all you do is type in ESPN Upstate in the search bar and it'll pull up ESPN Upstate, and you can always be able to listen anytime that you want. And I know I've been teasing it for the past couple of segments about the Golden State Warriors and about their situation right now. We know there was a big dust up with Kevin Durant and Draymond Green, and what is that going to do to their so-called dynasty? Now, they end up getting blown out last night by the Houston Rockets on the road, and it was a signature, at least, game for the Rockets, not because necessarily it was just the Golden State Warriors, and I get it. It's way early in the NBA season, but it was a defining moment in terms of just showing that they are much better without Carmelo Anthony. So I look at it from that perspective, and then I look at it from the lens of this dynasty and understanding what, if any, are there cracks in Golden State. And so for my opinion, dynasties in the NFL, how they're brought down, it's injuries. Guys moving on, free agency. In the NBA, it seems to be egos because it's an individual type of star-driven sport. And so when egos start colliding, like we saw with Draymond Green and Kevin Durant, then that's where I think you start seeing some cracks. I'm not saying that Golden State is not going to be able to win an NBA championship. I'm just saying that right now you can start to see some issues within the chemistry of the team, and I'm not the only one. Here's Steve Kerr talking about what he sees right now in terms of how the Warriors' mental state is.
We're banged up a little bit physically, and right now we're banged up spiritually. I mean, there's no getting around that. So we've got to fill up our cup and get our spirit back, get our energy back, and we're going to. It's a long, long season. And, you know, it's a tough stretch we're dealing with, but I know our guys. You know, Draymond may not have had his best night tonight. In fact, he played very poorly, but I liked his approach. He was genuine out there. He was competing. Nothing went his way, but I like where he's heading. And now the rest of the team, we've got to all lift our spirits up and, you know, get back on the saddle. But you know, we're going through a little bit of a rough patch.
And so is this the first rough patch that the Warriors have seen? I mean, the rough patch that we thought was a true rough patch was when they didn't beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in 2016 for the championship and had to go get Kevin Durant.
You know, this is surprising from Steve Kerr, because when you hear from the players involved, they act like it's no big deal. Well, at least Draymond Green acts like it's no big deal. I don't know if Kevin Durant has commented. He's probably still sulking. But
yeah, he has said, do not ask him about Draymond Green.
Because he's sensitive, and we can't ask him about that. By the way, I've stated and I continue to state that I'd rather have Draymond Green on my team. I know Kevin Durant is a great player, but he's too sensitive. I'm sorry. Sometimes someone's not going to pass you the ball. Get over it. Jeez. And I'm sorry. I wouldn't talk too much stuff to someone that could beat the mess out of me. And Draymond Green would tear KD to pieces if it came down to a fist fight. Yeah. He's too much, I want to be wanted. I want to be needed. I want everyone to see how important I am. That's Kevin Durant is what I'm talking about. And the fact that there's a possibility that he may be leaving, and I still think it was the wrong choice setting Draymond Green down, because this guy is the same today as he was when they got him. And he's praised for his fire and how he does things. And I'm sorry, he does some bad things like kicking people in the groin and stuff like that. But they knew they got that. Just like when the Bulls picked up Dennis Rodman, they knew what they were getting. They know what they have in Draymond Green, but he is the fire and he is the heart of that team. Stephen Curry, they need him. They do need him, but Green is what gets them going when they don't feel like going.
Well, and here's from that standpoint, there's no doubt about it that Draymond Green is the muscle for the Golden State Warriors. And they have been able to utilize that muscle and has been a key component to the Warriors. But I think this also showcases the situation that this is not Kevin Durant's team. This is not Draymond Green's team.
Right.
This is actually Steph Curry's team.
It is Steph Curry's team. And the thing is, it'll never be Kevin Durant's team.
It will not.
You know, he couldn't win on his own, and he had to go to a championship team. You know, whatever. I mean, that was his own decision. I don't respect it, and a lot of people don't respect it. But, hey, he went and got his championship. But don't expect everyone to love you and act like this is your team, because it's not.
No, it is not, and I can tell you that the Golden State Warriors do not need Kevin Durant as much as Kevin Durant needs the Golden State Warriors.
Agreed.
The Golden State Warriors in the last three seasons, they're 24-3 when Kevin Durant is not playing. 24-3, scoring almost 114 points per game, shooting 49% from the field, and 39% from three-point line. So they do not need him. And you can look back at, oh, well, they needed him in 2016. That's the reason why they lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Well, guess who they didn't have in a key game? It was Draymond Green, because he had been suspended. So again, with Kevin Durant being arguably the most sensitive superstar I've ever seen, because as much as people want to blame Draymond Green in terms of how he overreacted, you know, crossing the line, calling him a female dog, crossing the line in terms of calling him out about being a free agent, telling him, well, just leave, we don't need you. And that's why he's getting suspended for not just one particular comment, but all of the comments behind the scenes that we didn't get to see. But it's all of those things that Kevin Durant needs from the Warriors, and that's leadership. That's muscle, and that's emotional stability. Because Kevin Durant doesn't have that. The leadership, it's Steph Curry's team. I'm sorry. I mean, it is him. And he's got the muscle with Draymond Green, and then he's got the emotional stability with a coach like Steve Kerr. Now, let's jump to the phone lines right now. We've got Neil that actually wants to talk about Golden State as well. Neil, talk to us.
Richmond, man, you're doing a good job as always. I got three things on my mind, so hopefully if there's no other calls, you'll give me a little extra time. Wanted to start with the Golden State. It makes me laugh when people are like Golden State was invincible to begin with. I mean, they were – forget the fact that CP3 didn't play in Game 7. Forget that. They still should have lost. They were – it took a historically bad – and I mean historically. 1-for-21, I believe it was, in the second half of that game. Those Houston players, if they take – and those were a lot of uncontested threes. And, I mean, they're going to make sure out of 21, highly contested most nights. It just happened to be that one night that they just couldn't make them. That's the first thing about Golden State. The second thing about Golden State that I haven't heard anybody mention, why not go get Boogie Cousins? This is why. He breaks up, and I know nobody's saying anything about him right now, but he is the kind of personality that breaks up locker rooms. He causes friction between other players. That's just his personality. They already had enough scoring. He doesn't play defense. They could already score 125 on anybody. I still don't understand why they went and got him. As far as the Draymond Green, Kevin Durant thing, Draymond Green is 100% correct on everything he said. And what makes me laugh about the whole Golden State team, the only two people that ever gets any recognition are Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. And the two most important players on the team are Draymond Green because of his energy and because of his toughness, and Klay Thompson because Klay Thompson goes crazy scoring, and because Klay Thompson actually is a very good defender whenever he puts the effort in, for his size especially. Steph Curry never plays defense. He gives the effort, but he's not a good defensive player. And I could back down Kevin Durant at 43 years old and 205 pounds.
Neil, so, now come on now.
I mean, seriously, he looks like he needs to eat a cheeseburger or two. Second thing, I'm gonna take all your comments off the air, Richmond, because I got three things on my mind. Second thing,
keep
Aaron
going,
Rodgers.
Neil.
It trips me out the fact that since 2010, 2011, they haven't protected this man. You have got the single greatest talent at the quarterback position that ever played the game that I've personally ever seen, talent-wise. And you give up 5 sacks to Seattle, a team that had 23 sacks total coming into the game. And then not only that, but you never can stop the run on the defense. I mean, I've never pulled for him because he's a Packer. I've always respected his game. If I was a Packers fan, I would hate the upper management just for not protecting my guy. Last thing, college football. I just wish people would quit putting Oklahoma in the top 6 or 7, Richmond. Do you not have to play defense, too, in order to be a good team? Yeah, they're top 3 offense. They're not a top 6 team in college football. They took overtime with Army. They got their butts lit up on defense by Oklahoma State and Texas Tech both. Almost 50 points in both games. That, to me, is not a top 6 team. And lastly, Alabama is not invincible. I've seen it over the last couple of weeks. And if Clemson keeps getting better and better, I still think Clemson's got a really good chance to beat them. I'll take it off the air. Appreciate it, Richmond.
Neil, thank you for the call, and always appreciate you jumping in and being able to have good takes and your opinion, and you've got a lot of energy with that. So thank you, Neil, and do appreciate you calling in, and make sure that everybody else can jump in as well. 844-477-3776. And there is still this dynasty conversation. There's a lot to be said, and what about it looking at it from the college football side? That's next, right here on The Huddle. You're listening, ESPN Upstate. It's Richmond Weaver and Lonzo. Richmond Weaver and Lonzo here. And I think it is time. We've got to give credit. I know that mentioned during the break the headlines in terms of some news from last night's college basketball locally here with Furman getting the victory over North Greenville. But Jordan Lyons tying the record for most three-pointers in a game, and that's at 15. But what's crazy about it, though, is that was the second consecutive night that the record was set or tied. Josh Williams of Robert Morris, he actually set the record of 15 on Wednesday night. And then Jordan Lyons follows that up Thursday night and ties it. Absolutely amazing. So college basketball is really starting to heat up. And for Furman, hey, I know Coach Bob Ritchie, he's got to be excited coming off of, obviously, a few days ago beating Final Four participant Loyola Chicago on the road. And now, can you imagine Furman? They actually get to play this Saturday in Philadelphia against defending national champ Villanova. What would that look like if Furman It's an unbelievable.
If Duke keeps jacking up threes like that, you never know.
That's the ultimate way to stay in a game, right? I mean, that can be the difference. Three-pointers, you hit. If you get hot from outside, that's a difference maker.
Yeah, it's such – you know, basketball is I love basketball for the fact that these small schools can have great players and be competitive with the big schools. It's not like football. Basketball, just about anybody, if they have a couple really good players, can compete.
They can, but it's still, at the end of the day, it's the usual suspects, and that's what most people want to see. They want to see the teams that are getting there, and they want to see the stars. They want to see the star athletes and all of that. And
you know, I'm to the point right now, if Duke was playing somewhere in the area, I might actually go see it.
And why is that? Because you want to go see Coach K?
Well, of course. He's a legend.
And I know Lonzo is being sarcastic. If you guys don't...
I'm not being... He is a legend.
No, he is a legend, yes, but you're not going to go see Coach K.
You're right. I wouldn't be going to see Coach
K. Of course
K.
not. You're going to go see Zion. And I know everybody's talking about R.J. Barrett and Cam Reddish, that these are the guys that, you know, are going to be part of an unbelievable year this year for Duke and be the top picks in the NBA draft and might actually be better NBA players or a better... I guess, prospect in the NBA than Zion. But I'm sorry. Sorry, everybody. Zion is so charismatic, so electrifying. People are going to see Zion. They're not going to see R.J. Barrett. As good as he is, I know it'd be fun to watch him play, but everybody wants to see Zion. And that's the same way with some of these other sports. They want to see the stars.
Yeah, but the thing is, I mean, without those other guys, I mean, Zion stands out. But having those other guys on the court, all those guys are really, really good. And I still can't believe that they were ranked, what, fourth at the beginning of the year?
And again, yes, can we put that away? Can we put that to rest?
How can you not? I know they played some preseason games. How can you not look at that team and go, oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, those guys are definitely number one.
Yeah. Well, now Duke is number one, and that's where they should be. It's a shame that anybody could even look at that team and not say that Duke is the number one team in the nation and that they're not the early, early favorite to win the national championship. Regardless of how many games they've played, all you got to do is watch the game or watch a few games and you'll quickly understand. Now, make sure you jump in the show right here, 844-477-3776. It's Richmond Weaver and Lonzo here on the huddle as Greg McKinney is off today, heading down to Sumter for the Burns-Sumter football game. Airtime is at 7 p.m. with the pregame show, and 7:30 is kickoff, and you can catch all of that action here. And also, if you want to jump in, can't get to the phone lines, but you are able to text, jump in the Health Dare text line at text 71307, and just make sure you start your message with ESPN so we know it's directed towards us. And we have had a few text messages come in, and as we've been talking about Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and dynasties and Kevin Durant and who's a diva and who's not. And we've got one texter that writes in, quarterback guru Greg Cosell believes that Aaron Rodgers can't play within a system, but fans are seduced by the visuals. That being said, Brady is greater than Rodgers by 15 car lengths. And that was Raj that sent that text in. And so I imagine he might be on Woodruff Road right now or something. Talking about car links.
I think I told you not to read that one.
And then we've also got another texter chiming in that LeBron is a bigger diva and more sensitive than Kevin Durant. And that's from Clay C. I would have to argue with that one. I'm sorry. Kevin Durant is more sensitive.
I was going to say, I need some proof. I don't recall LeBron making burner accounts so he can go at his naysayers. I don't recall any of that. Is he a baby on the court? All the big-time stars are babies on the court. That's totally different, whining about every call. I mean, what star player doesn't do that? I mean, half the time they miss a play at the other end of the court because they're too busy complaining to the referee. They all need to stop doing that. But off the court, no way, man. KD's the biggest diva in the NBA.
And when you saw the game that started – The interaction with Kevin Durant and Draymond Green with their little spat that they had, and it was all because apparently Draymond Green didn't pass Kevin Durant the ball. And so as much as fault is being put on Draymond Green, you have to look at Kevin Durant. He's the one who was going after Draymond Green saying, why didn't you pass me the ball, basically, is what he's saying. And that really started everything. And we know Draymond Green is so emotional, and he wears his emotions on his sleeve. And then maybe cross the line, but we're early in the season, KD, and you're worrying about getting the ball and having to show somebody up by saying you're the star, basically, by give me the ball. And if you watched any of the game last night, and I know there's probably not a lot of people that watch in NBA right now because it's so early in the season, we've got so many games, but
I've been watching every Laker game I can. I just want to point that out.
Well, I get that because it's LeBron James, right?
Got to see him make history.
Yes.
Or some history when he passed up Wilt the other night.
That was impressive.
And every game he's got a shot to move a little bit closer to. Will he finish the all-time scoring leader? Probably not. But
no, he's got a long way to go.
He might move into number two. Well, it's a possibility.
Yeah, he's got a long way to go. But if he keeps playing and being able to, you know, rest his energy or, you know, make sure that he's not overexerting himself too early in the season, then, you know, he might be able to play for a few more years.
Now,
but I just can't see him
I should have checked the scores. If I would have seen that Golden State was starting to look like they were getting beat so bad, I probably would have tuned in for the end of that.
Well,
and enjoyed the whole thing.
Yeah, there was a point in the game where, and I see it quite often, that Kevin Durant, and this is not a knock on Kevin Durant because this is part of the NBA, that they go one-on-one and isolation. That's just a big part of the NBA right now. But there was one part where Kevin Durant is in isolation and Draymond Green is wide open for a good 8 seconds. Because they know Draymond Green is not a great shooter. Now, he can hit it every once in a while, and if you give him a wide-open shot, then he's going to probably make it 25% of the time. And Kevin Durant would not pass him the ball and ended up taking a contested shot with two guys on him as another defender came over to Kevin Durant to try to stop him, and he would not pass the ball to Draymond Green. So I don't care what people say that, oh, this is nothing, this is just one little brush up.
Hey, Kerr really sounded like that there's a problem.
That there's an issue. He's talking about spirituality.
He's the king of sarcasm. I love his sarcasm, and I don't think that was sarcasm at all. I think he really is concerned.
There's definitely something there. There is. And I'm sorry to say it, but there definitely is. And I do want to get back to shifting gears a little bit. We had Neil calling in talking about college football and who could actually compete against Alabama right now. Right now, everybody's talking about Alabama's the most dominant team, and we're seeing it, you know, statistically it seems that way, and how they're blowing teams out, and how Tua Tagovailoa, he's not even playing in the fourth quarter. He's playing up until the third quarter, and you can parlay some of that into a little bit of an injury, or also obviously just from the perspective that they're blowing people out. But so is there anybody that can beat Alabama in this dynasty? And obviously there is. There's teams, and I contend that Georgia will give them a tough matchup in the SEC championship. And don't even forget about a rivalry game against Auburn. What if Tua does bang up that knee even more against Auburn? Do you think Auburn has a shot to beat Alabama? Do they have enough talent to take Crimson Tide down? They beat them last year. Who's to say they can't beat them this year, especially if Tua gets hurt? Because we've also seen that Jalen Hurt, I don't even know if he can play. And I think that's one of the most underrated stories going on right now in terms of his injury, because that could be very significant. And I know Neil is not big at all on Oklahoma, and I get it, Neil. I understand. And Neil called in earlier talking about his frustration with Oklahoma being ranked in the top six because they don't play any defense.
See, I'm still ticked about LSU being ranked seventh, but you know.
That's a whole nother topic as well. In terms of what I still contend that certain teams, especially in the SEC, get some type of bias that just because they're in the SEC, that they're apparently playing all this much better competition, so they have to be continued ranked in the top 10, top 15, whatever it is. But with Oklahoma being number six, I question what type of team would give Alabama fits. Is it somebody with an explosive offense? I think so. Somebody with a dynamic quarterback? I think we've seen it. Clemson had an explosive offense.
I was going to say, you're wearing the shirt. You might as well say the name.
No, I'm not saying Clemson. I'm saying Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going back to 2015, 2016, where we saw that Clemson had a dynamic quarterback, could score quickly. Now, Clemson obviously has a much better defense than Oklahoma, but as a team like Oklahoma, could they give Alabama fits? Because now Alabama's probably going to score 50 points, but could Oklahoma score 50 points as well? I think Kyler Murray has shown that he's that type of dynamic quarterback. I don't think Oklahoma is going to make it. I think actually Oklahoma is going to get beat before the college football playoffs, so it's going to be a moot point. But my point is that could that be a team that type of characteristic of a team give Alabama fits? And Georgia, offensively, you have to look at what they can do on the running game, and it's not like that Jake Fromm is some type of bum out there. I know there's a lot of Georgia fans that want to see Justin Fields out there and not giving a whole lot of support or confidence in Jake Fromm, but believe me, he's still a very good quarterback, and he's young. Remember, last year was his freshman year, so you have to take that into consideration. But I'm just wondering, from that perspective, are we looking at what type of team could it be that could take Alabama down or at least give them some true fits as we're wrapping up the college football season? We'll continue this discussion right here on The Huddle. You're listening to ESPN Upstate. It's Richmond Weaver and Lonzo. It's Richmond Weaver and Lonzo here with you Friday, right before the weekend of Thanksgiving. And I know next week will probably be a short week for most people. Again, I get it. There are going to be some people that are still going to be grinding out there on Thanksgiving Day and the Friday after, but a lot of people start to get very excited this time of year and what you're thankful for. And there's other people that might start to get stressed out, though. Here we go. Holidays. You got to spend time with family. Dysfunction.
Do you go out on Black Friday?
No, sir.
Okay. Listen, there's some people into that.
I know. There's a lot of people that are into it.
That's a sport in itself, going somewhere and actually getting the deal and or just going and people watching and seeing people fight. I mean, fighting over nothing when they could sit at home and order everything they want online.
And right now, I get all of these pop-ups when I'm on any type of website, it seems that, oh, Black Friday is already starting now. I'm like, Black Friday? We're not even to Thanksgiving yet. It's like pre-Black Friday type of sales. And so I am a big Amazon guy. I'm a big just online, ship it to me. I'm all about convenience, and I'm also all about, hey, that's a job for my checkbook.
You do get why they're doing it now, don't you? Because if you're ordering online, you expect it to be shipped. So the earlier you order, the better. So you make it a little bit earlier, you got a better shot of actually getting stuff by Christmas.
Yeah, but I would like to know, are they truly going to have different discounts? Is the discount really what it is right now is what you're going to see on Black Friday?
Or you go look on Black Friday and find it, it's 20% off more of what you just bought it for.
Exactly. And I think that's what can happen. And I would have to say that for all these people that have to battle with Woodruff Road each and every day, get ready. Here we go.
Do you do lists with your wife? Or do you try to pick? I mean, because
it's kind of hodgepodge. I love to get at least give me a
surprises.
Couple of ideas. Yeah. Yes, give me a couple of ideas. But I will try to be a little bit creative and do something on my own.
I think once you pass the probably 25 mark, I think that that it's pretty much a list all the time because
Yeah, what have you not given her over 25 years, right?
That's not just because my 26th anniversary
is
coming up.
I wanted to make sure to bring that up. That's a big accomplishment.
And here's the thing. I mean, if you don't know that person by now, I mean, all the surprises and things, you probably already done them. I mean, you can hope that maybe something you did in year three she may have forgot about and you can bring it back around, but she didn't forget.
Well, so, we know women. They don't forget too often. Right?
Yeah, so it's – I think I've reached the end of my creativity as far as imagination goes and stuff like that. And I'd rather get to the point where I can't get her to tell me what she wants.
Well, so, most of the times now, I've either already purchased what I want or my wife has already purchased what she wants.
Same here. If you've reached a point in your life where you can buy some of the things that you want, then you get around this time and it's like you're having to go, really don't want anything, but I do want something. So I got it. I got to find something.
Yes.
You know, so we just spent, like, I think it was yesterday or the day before, online going, okay, I want this, 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 and this. But, you know, basically what I wanted was T-shirts and a couple games, and that was it.
And that's, I mean, it. Well, you've got your car.
I do.
All right. So you're set there.
And she could say,
so
hey.
So what else do you need?
She could say, hey, you got that. You're getting nothing.
Exactly.
And I would be like, okay, I'm going to go sit in a while. But, you know, still, I've found a new addiction, and it's buying T-shirts. And I have way too many.
And when you say T-shirts, are they a particular brand, style?
No,
are you looking for something unique?
I have a ton of Kansas City stuff and getting more all the time.
Wearing your Ohio State Buckeyes today.
She just got me a Kansas City reversible coat, which is awesome, for my birthday, which I finally am able to wear because it's a little bit colder outside. And because I'm such a nerd, I get a lot of superhero T-shirts and things like that and video game T-shirts. And we have a competition around here in radio, at least on a couple of stations I work, trying to get a T-shirt that somebody else doesn't have. So, I mean, you know, that's kind of
so
fun.
There's the hunt. There's excitement,
nothing,
trying to get something different.
And I'm so thankful to God that I'm to the point where there's nothing that I need. So you do get to the point where you want to, you know, something that has sentimental value, things like that. But what I'm getting around to, I've talked to Greg about this a little bit. The one thing I really want for Christmas I can't have, because we definitely can't afford it, and that would be if Kansas City goes to the Super Bowl. I want to go to the Super Bowl. And he actually looked online, like the cheapest ticket was like $3,500. And
that's within your budget, right?
No, it's not. But then you really got – so if you could have anything that you wanted under the tree for Christmas sports-wise, what would you want? And that's what I would want. But I can't get it right now because there's no guarantee they're going to be there.
No, there's not.
You know,
I would have to say it's got to be one of the most exciting games coming up Monday night in the NFL,
yeah.
Right? Kansas City and the Rams, and obviously a crazy situation with the NFL having to move the game from Mexico City to Los Angeles because of field conditions. And I know there's been some discussions around that. I think it's a smart move by the NFL.
Yeah,
I really
too.
Do. And you can look at it and
even though
it
goes to
lenses,
LA Stadium, but
I get
still.
It. Yes. And just think about the logistics of that. Do you think they wanted to really move that game?
No.
No, not even close.
Because
they did
they're
not
really
want to move that
pushing
game.
These international games.
They are. And from an international perspective, if they're going to open up the market to an NFL team, I think Mexico would be the obvious choice rather than going across the pond to England.
Oh, agreed.
And so I think this is a situation where the NFL is really bummed out that they're not able to have that game.
But did you
in
see
Mexico
the field?
City.
The field was pretty bad.
It was really bad.
Yeah.
And we're talking about some of these elite of elite athletes and two of the best teams, and you're talking a lot of money as well. Can you imagine if Tyreek Hill blows out his knee because of bad field conditions?
No, and don't say that.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know from your perspective as a Kansas City fan, good grief, that would be ridiculous. And so I have no problem with the NFL being able to pull the trigger, and I'm glad that they had the foresight to make a decision, view all the pros and cons, and say, you know what, let's do it. Let's make this happen, and let's to try to protect our stars. Because as much as the NFL, it is obviously, we know, it's not like the NBA where it's a star-driven league. We know that for the NFL to continue what they are doing with the ratings perspective, they want some offensive firepower. They want their offensive stars. And to be able to do that, you've got to have proper field conditions. I mean, I remember, didn't they cancel, was it 2 years ago, the Hall of Fame game? And that was based on, I guess, also field conditions, and that was a preseason game. So if they're going to cancel the preseason game, you would have to think that the NFL is smart enough that they've got to look at these other options for a key game that has obviously a lot of implications in terms of the NFL season.
They pulled the plug early enough to where they were able to move things, and I'll be interested to see how many people show up for the game in L.A. I mean, them moving it to L.A. in such short notice. I know they're giving away some tickets and things like that, but man, this could be a Super Bowl preview. So you think people will be clamoring to try and go see it?
Well, they have to be. I mean, probably arguably two of the best offenses right now in the NFL.
And record-wise, it is the two best teams. So they're both 9-1, I think. So,
and looking at the quarterbacks with Mahomes and Jared Goff, this is an unbelievable NFL matchup. And I'm that's one Monday night game that I'm actually looking forward to, because I would have to say I have not been excited about NFL on Monday nights. Lonzo and I, Richmond Weaver, coming back right after the break, right here on ESPN Upstate. It's The Huddle. It's Richmond Weaver and Lonzo here on The Huddle. And, you know, I don't know if many people have saw this news that came through late yesterday afternoon. And I think there's something to it. And I think this means that this might be foreshadowing something that might happen after this college football season. But Les Miles has reached a $1.5 million buyout agreement with LSU. Now, they reached the settlement yesterday, and it's a one-time lump sum payment of $1.5 million that was remaining from the guarantee from the school. Now, they actually owed him $6.5 million after they fired him in September of 2016, and he hasn't coached since, but they were able to negotiate this one-time lump sum payment to basically have everything done with. It's over. So the LSU, Les Miles relationship is completely over now, and with that, now Les Miles can actually coach again. So he's freed from his restrictions, because that was part of this buyout that he had, is that he wouldn't be able to be a head coach somewhere unless, obviously, what we see in other times, that these schools will actually pay the other school whatever is remaining on the buyout agreement. So this could potentially free up Les Miles in terms of being a head coach again. And I think it's something that we're going to see. And I think this is a move that Les Miles has probably been lobbying for, because I think there's probably something going on that he's working on. He's probably already been in discussions with some potential schools, and maybe not necessarily him directly, because he can always say, or the school can say, no, we have not been in contact with this person directly, or this coach directly, or I haven't been in contact with anybody from the school directly. But we know how it works. Their agents can be talking with the school. Their agent can be talking with some type of search firm that schools are using. So there's all types of language and gray areas that you can cross into. But for Les Miles, I think this is the right move for him, because I know he wants to get back into coaching. I don't want to see him on these commercials anymore, the beer commercials.
I love the commercials, though. The commercials are great.
Now, there's a couple of them that are good, but there's a few that I'm like, all right, Les, you just seem to be going down. I don't know. I would rather see him coaching, and I know that he's a controversial coach and would bring some excitement, again, to college football. Our last hour right here on The Huddle with Richmond Weaver and Lonzo is next, right up here on ESPN Upstate.